May it please the court, counsel, Steve Sirsik, here for appellant and plaintiff Lila Chikora. There are two main substantive issues I will spend my time on today, and I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. The first main issue with the trial court's opinion before I get to that, I'll be referring to CCCA, Rito Jalisco as the restaurant for shorthand, and to Bridgeview Bank as the landowner for shorthand. The first issue we have is with the trial court's standard that it applied in evaluating whether the restaurant could be held liable by the jury. And the second issue is whether the trial court appropriately took from the jury the issue of whether the landlord breached its written contractual duty to remove ice from the property. The first issue regarding the restaurant, it's our contention that the trial court applied an erroneous standard in that it analyzed the duty in the case as simply a business owner who voluntarily chooses to remove snow and ice, and who therefore would have only the obligation to avoid causing an unnatural accumulation of snow and ice. And that's, of course, a natural accumulation rule under Illinois law, and it's pretty well drawn out. The reason that we hold that this standard was erroneous because it belies the nature of the relationship between the parties. The restaurant had made a contract with the landowner, and there was a specific duty that the landowner had assumed in a written contract, and that was to remove snow and ice. And we believe that all the language in the case about the assumption of a duty for the restaurant should be looked at in context. In other words, this wasn't a vacuum where the restaurant decided, well, I'm going to plow the sidewalk. This was a case where if there was a duty that was assumed for the benefit of the public or for the benefit of third parties, it wasn't simply that general tort duty, but it was a specific written contractual duty to remove ice. Of course, under Illinois law, that's an exception to the natural accumulation rule, because liability arises if the landlord carries out the duty to remove snow or ice negligently. Yes, Your Honor.
In the argument section of your brief,
yes,
you never mention the awnings as a source of the ice accumulation, noting only the snowfall the prior day.
Yes.
How could remnants from a prior snowfall be considered an unnatural accumulation? And without reference to the awnings, what evidence was there that the ice was not naturally produced?
Well, Your Honor, I guess two ways to respond to that. One is, I do believe that there's a possible inference for a jury to draw that the awning was dripping water and that there may have formed ice as a result of that, and that was visible to the restaurant owner and possibly visible to the landowner. But secondly, our argument is that and we'll get to the landlord later, but that the restaurant assumed the landlord's written contractual duty to remove ice, which is an exception to the natural accumulation rule.
She's far from the door of the restaurant when she slipped, and presumably she wasn't near any awnings.
Well, Your Honor, again, I think that the dripping or the possible water source from awnings only becomes relevant if we're under the natural accumulation rule. That is, if we don't have a specific written contractual duty to remove ice. But in this particular case, definitely the landowner, and we're arguing that the restaurant as well, assumed a specific contractual duty to remove ice. And we'll get to that in a little bit.
Wait a minute. Is it your contention that the defendants could be liable for the failure to remove all traces of even natural accumulation of snow and ice?
And Your Honor, that's a very pointed question. There's case law in Illinois that says not every flake of snow, not every patch of ice. But, Your Honor, under the facts of this case, that's not what we're dealing with. And I will address that. I will address the facts, the entirety of the facts. And we had an ice patch that was 8 inches wide. It was in an icy area 2 or 3 feet wide. Ms. Chikora supposedly fell at around 10:30 a.m., but a restaurant employee had been in this area at 9 a.m.
I don't understand an icy, it was an 8-inch patch of ice in an icy area. What does that mean?
An 8-inch wide patch of ice in an icy area of 2 to 3 feet. I believe that's what's in the record. Really.
Some about 30 feet from the entrance of the restaurant.
And that focus, that fact was focused on by the district court. And obviously it's our contention that the facts I just recited, along with the fact that Mr. Cora fell just an hour and a half after the restaurant employee supposedly shoveled the walk area.
And salted, I think.
And salted. There's an inference to the jury that the ice would be visible to employees and owners of the restaurant passing by and in his duties of shoveling. And the ice would presumably be visible to restaurant employees in routine shoveling, snowing, and so that gives them constructive notice.
But if the ice was not visible to Ms. Sikora walking without any obstruction, such as packages, on a clear day, what evidence is there that the defendants should have been aware of it?
Well, I believe there's two answers to that. The first is that the defendants obviously spend greater time on the property, have greater control of the property, and by law have a duty to inspect their ingress, and that if they were carrying out the contractual duty to clear the walk, they had a duty to not to clear every flake of ice or snow, but to make a reasonable inspection of the area that they were clearing. And Your Honor's also factually, it didn't rain or snow that day, and so the ice formation wasn't a sudden one, Your Honor. That's also a record. The restaurant's duty, we're arguing, is essentially equals the landlord's duty here, because the restaurant stands in the shoes of the landlord if it assumed the landlord's duty, which was a written contractual duty, not just the general duty of someone shoveling a walk. And so our contention is the analysis the court should have followed was down that line of reasoning and found that the restaurant, whether the restaurant carried out that duty, that is the duty to remove ice, was done negligently. And I've gone through some of the facts. Again, Your Honor, I think it was a focus of the district court, the 30 feet away. I understand that issue. And I suppose the response I have to that is that it's a fact issue to be considered by the jury. One of the things the district court talked about was, well, the 30 feet away and the size isn't significant enough, something to that effect, and I'm paraphrasing, to make it a factual issue. But again, our contention is that if you've got an ice patch, and again, Your Honor, I wrote it down so I wouldn't get it wrong, 8 inches wide, that was the wording, in an area 2 or 3 feet wide, in an icy area 2 or 3 feet wide, that was the wording in the record, Your Honor.
So are you trying to say it's ice of 8 inches on top of ice of 20 inches?
My reading of those facts is that the ice patch is 8 inches wide, located in a larger area of ice, which is 2 to 3 feet wide. And so under that reading of the facts, it wouldn't be unreasonable to expect, and a jury could conclude, that that this was discoverable and that there was constructive notice. Also, alternatively, the court could have refused to analyze the restaurant's duty under anything but the duty to provide ingress egress. Interestingly enough, that's the McLean and Bloom line of cases. You know, we're talking about icicles and things like that. The interesting thing about that is not the icicles, but the fact that Bloom really, McLean really takes Bloom and puts a sort of a focus on it and says, if you look at this Bloom case, what the court Appellate Court of Illinois is really doing is analyzing the restaurant's duty or the business owner's duty in that case under an ingress-egress standard, okay, and not under the natural accumulation rule. And I guess, Your Honor, whether the court looked at the restaurant's duty under the ingress-egress rule or whether it looked at the restaurant's duty as having assumed the written duty that the landlord assumed, then gratuitously assumed that duty, if the court had analyzed under either one of those duties, it would have properly left the case for the jury. And so our contention with the court's order is that it does not follow that reasoning for the restaurant, and had it either one of those chains of reasoning, it would have left the case for the jury. The landowner, or in this case Bridgeview Bank, it's our contention the court incorrectly took the question of the owner's liability from the jury. And again, Your Honor, not every snowflake need be removed. And recent and continuous precipitation relieves or may relieve liability. But where we contend, have a bone of contention with the court's order, is that those rules don't apply here. At least they may be jury instructions, but at least not to deprive the plaintiff of a jury trial as a matter of law. Because here, a written contractual duty to remove ice exists. To me, one of the facts that just jumps out at me is the contract itself. You know, we have other cases in Illinois that talk about a duty to shovel snow, don't mention ice. We have other cases that talk about, a duty to maintain the premises, like the Judge Zeit case with the University of Chicago, the DeKalb parking lot. But in this particular case, we have a contract that says duty to remove, or we will remove, basically snow and ice. And so basically the parties have contractually arranged under Illinois law the risks between themselves. In other words, Your Honor, that they have agreed, the landlord has agreed to remove ice for the benefit of the restaurant, for the benefit of the restaurant's invitees. And here there's a fair question of whether the landlord allowed ice to remain after, and this is the standard, Your Honor, I believe, after, quote, a reasonable length of time for removal had elapsed, end of quote. That's the standard as I read the cases. And whether the ice was allowed to remain after a reasonable length of time for removal had elapsed is a reasonable jury question given the size of the ice patch, the size of the area that the ice patch was located in, the fact that it would be visible in the performing of contractual duty to clear the egress, and the fact that it did not rain or snow that day. That was never contested in the record. So you've got a discoverable patch of ice. You've got a contractually assumed duty. And so, Your Honor, for these reasons, the appellant respectfully asks the court to reverse the grant of summary judgment for both defendants and allow a jury trial as to both defendants. And I'd like to reserve, if there are no questions this time, the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Bob Burke, Jr., and I represent the Appley CCAA, which does business as Burrito Jalisco. They operate a takeout fast food restaurant at 119th and Cicero in Elsop, Illinois. The facts of this case are extremely simple. Plaintiff parked her car, exited her vehicle, traversed across a portion of the concrete sidewalk and slipped on a patch of ice approximately 30 feet from the door of the entrance of the restaurant.
In the parking lot?
No, in the sidewalk. She parked her car in the parking lot, stepped up about 6 inches, and then started walking toward the front door. That morning, an employee of Burrito Jalisco had salted the sidewalk. The sidewalk, by all accounts, by the plaintiff and her son, who came shortly after to the scene, and the employees of the restaurant, indicated that the sidewalk was completely clear of snow, although there was some residual ice on the sidewalk itself. And for people who have obviously lived in the Chicago area, you're familiar with the fact that if you shovel any type of concrete or asphalt, some type of residual snow or ice forms underneath when a person shovels or plows in that fashion. In this case, there was no evidence at all in the entire record that the residual ice that remained on the sidewalk was anything other than a natural accumulation. There's been no evidence at all that anything that the property owner or the tenant did to that property created an unnatural accumulation. An unnatural accumulation could be something like a defective gutter, a defective downspout that causes water to run in a certain area. As the court indicated, there is an awning, that there are window awnings that are over the windows that on the outside of the establishment. Those awnings do not extend over the entire length of the sidewalk. The sidewalk is approximately 8 to 10 feet wide, and the awnings are approximately 2 feet over the windows. There's been no evidence.
So are you saying that there was 6 feet between the awnings and the ice patch?
Approximately 4 to 6 feet, Judge. That's correct.
What evidence was introduced regarding those awnings?
The only evidence introduced regarding the awning was in the deposition of Guadalupe Herrera, who is the operator of the establishment. And the question was asked, were there awnings over the windows? It was yes. And then would the snow fall onto those awnings? Yes. Would it also fall onto the sidewalk? Yes. But there's been no evidence that there was any type of unnatural accumulation of snow that had fallen off of the awning onto the sidewalk and remelted in some type of a negligent or unnatural accumulation. The law in Illinois is crystal clear on this, that a property owner is not liable for injuries which occur when someone slips and falls on a natural accumulation of ice. The exceptions are if the owner, the property owner, or the tenant caused an unnatural accumulation, or if they aggravated some type of natural condition like a crack, a defective sidewalk, something of that nature. In this case, there's been no evidence with regard to any cracks, any holes, any defective aspects of the underlying sidewalk itself.
But what if there is, your understanding of Illinois law, if there is a sheet of ice naturally accumulated that wasn't caused by the landowner, but then several inches of snow comes along and the landowner takes off the snow again but exposing the ice, does that create a problem?
That is still a natural accumulation. And in fact, there's a couple Illinois cases that have gone into that with that basically says that when a landowner shovels or removes snow, he doesn't have to do it meticulously, and if something is left, that's sufficient. As a matter of law, these cases have decided. There is another case, Zadzik versus Dominix, which also says that if the owner of the property voluntarily undertakes the salting of an area. In other words, if you've shoveled and there's a remaining residual snow and you've salted and that salt actually causes the snow to melt and then, because of the weather, refreezes, the court has determined that as a matter of law that someone who undertakes the voluntary task of salting, a melting, and a refreezing is also a natural accumulation. So even if you believe that in this case, the employee of the restaurant salted in the morning, which they did, whether that portion melted and refroze, that still the court determines as a matter of law that that is not an unnatural accumulation. And that was the Zickis versus Dominix case. The other case, which is an Illinois case very similar to this case, was the Timmons case, which is virtually identical in this case. Basically, it was a dental office in which the dentist went out and shoveled the sidewalk early in the morning, and there remained some residual ice and some residual snow underneath the shoveling. The plaintiff was a patient who came into a dental office at 8 in the morning, slipped and fell on that, and the court determined in that case that as a matter of law that the shoveling and the salt and the residual ice was not an unnatural accumulation. So I think it's pretty clear in this case that there's no factual dispute as to how she fell. There's no factual dispute as to the condition of the sidewalk. The plaintiff's son came to the area of the fall approximately 25 to 30 minutes after the fall, and with his cell phone, he took three photographs of the area, and those are actually part of the record that are attached to his deposition. And so you can actually see the residual ice patch. You can see the length of the sidewalk that enters the establishment. So basically, I think that the underlying district court got this ruling right, that there is no facts in dispute, and that correctly granted summary judgment on behalf of both defendants. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burke. More air to get it right this time.
May it please the court, counsel, Jennifer Moriarty on behalf of Bridgeview Bank. I'm not going to rehash the facts in this case. I think that it is very clear from the record that the granting of summary judgment as to both defendants in this case was proper, and it should be affirmed. The plaintiff has failed to address the fact that she doesn't show any causal nexus between the breach of the lease terms, which my client assumed in a foreclosure, and her injury. The fact that there's no dispute that my client assumed those lease terms and was obligated to remove snow and ice. The testimony is clear that the parking lot had been done. My client had a snowplow service that, in fact, did the parking lot. The restaurant employees did the sidewalk. Regardless of the fact that my client didn't do the sidewalk had been done. It was a voluntary undertaking, and plaintiff has failed to show that that voluntary undertaking was done so negligently, or that there's a direct nexus between the breach of my client's duty and her injury. We do agree that this, as far as my client goes, that it falls within the exception to the natural accumulation, that there is a contractual obligation. However, it was fulfilled. Whether or not it was fulfilled by my client is irrelevant. It was fulfilled by another party, and it was done so properly. The plaintiff would have to show that Burrito Jalisco's employees did so negligently when they cleared the sidewalk. There's nothing in here to suggest that. The testimony is that sidewalk was clear. Plaintiff said it herself. It was clear and dry, except for that one patch of ice. The testimony by Mrs. Herrera is that one of her employees had, in fact, been out there that morning, approximately an hour and a half prior to the fall, salted and cleared the sidewalk. Whether that salt melted and refroze, melted the ice that had been there and it refroze again, it's still a natural accumulation. It didn't change it. The mere presence of that ice patch doesn't equate to negligence. Plaintiff has not shown what the origin of the ice is. There's a line of cases in which when the plaintiff cannot show what caused the ice patch, there is no liability. You have the Crane case in which the plaintiff testified she was 99% sure of how the ice patch that she fell on was formed. That wasn't sufficient. It's speculation. A mere possibility is not enough. And plaintiff has failed to show any of that. And quite frankly, my argument is minimal since everyone has done it already. So if you don't have any questions, I just say that the court should affirm the ruling of the district court in this case.
Thank you, Ms. Moore. How much time? You have 2 minutes.
Your Honor, a couple things to address. First of all, the argument of CCCA. A couple interesting facts that brought out by some of the court's questioning. Yes, this 8-inch wide patch or 8-inch wide slice of ice on a 2 to 3 foot wide area of ice was not just in the parking lot, but on the sidewalk, on the egress of the restaurant and of the building where business invitees would come and go. Both defendants have remarked that it's not a jury question because of the natural accumulation rule. And just real briefly, the district court recites in her order, and it is, I think, agreed in the briefs, that the natural accumulation rule, in other words, where you have to show where the water came from and all that, does not apply if there is a written contract. Williams versus Lincoln Tower was such a case where a written contract was the basis of liability. Tressler Eichler, the Schoendijk case, all of those cases hold that when there is a written contract to remove ice, it's a jury question. And if you look at this, we have ice in a fairly large patch, 8 inches wide, 2 to 3 foot wide area of ice on the egress. Okay, we have a written contract that says that the landlord is to remove ice under Schoendijk. We know that's for the benefit of the public, for business invitees, and for third parties. We know all of those things. So what is essentially the argument? All the argument about we don't know where the water came from, that doesn't matter. That is an exception. When there is a written contract to remove ice, as you said, Your Honor, if you remove some snow or plow it and leave a patch of ice that's reasonably large, a jury could conclude that that's negligence under a written contract. Interestingly enough, and if I could just finish, there is no right to rely on past gratuitous performances. And this is a quote from the Burke versus City of Chicago case. Illinois law is clear that the negligent performance of a gratuitous undertaking would impose liability for injuries proximately caused, but the mere reliance by a party upon defendant's gratuitous performance in the past without more is insufficient to impose any duty thereafter. That's the Appellate Court of Illinois. There was no right to rely. There was nothing but a duty to make sure there was a safe ingress. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to all counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.